the Lord here. If God gets on you, just say praise the Lord and just do whatever God tells you to do. But I want to preach a message this morning with the title of it, if you want to put a title to it, on what's worse than going to hell, or a greater damnation, and why. And I just want to deal with some verses, and the Bible's pretty clear on it. I mean, if you got any spiritual discernment at all, you can see what thus saith the Lord in this portion of Scripture over in Luke chapter 12. And I'm going to begin reading about verse 42. And y'all be praying for me this morning. I woke up kind of dizzy-headed again this morning, more than normal. I'm just kind of, I don't know, I'm up here. I don't know what's going on. But anyhow, y'all just, God will take over. He usually does. And if he doesn't, he'll still get the glory from it. Luke chapter 12, verse 42. Bible says, "And the Lord said, Who then is that faithful and wise steward, whom the Lord, or his Lord, shall make ruler over his household, to give them their portion of meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Of a truth I say unto you, that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. But, and if that servant say in his heart, My Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and maidens, and to eat and drink and to be drunken, the Lord of that servant will come in that day when he looketh not for him. And at that, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him off in asunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant which knew the Lord's will, and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not, and did commit things worthy of stripes, shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whom much is given of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more." Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we want to thank and praise you this morning for your presence. Thank you, Lord, for everyone that's come out to hear the preaching of the Word of God. And Lord, I pray right now that anointing power might fall down upon this message, upon your messenger. And Lord, just speak to us here for just a little while this morning. And Lord, I pray, God, most of all, that Lord, that one that's closest to hell, God, you might save their soul here this morning. Lord, that's what it's all about. That's what you sent your Son Jesus to die for, is to keep us out of that terrible place called hell. And Lord, I want to pray now that God, you would just guide my thoughts, my lips, help everything be done to honor and glorify your holy name. And we ask this now in Jesus' precious name, amen and amen. Why and who will receive the greater damnation? You start understanding, start thinking about some of the things that's going on. I believe the number one is those that die lost in great light. There's a lot of people over, I've had people say, well, what about those Africans over there back out in the woods and they've never even heard the gospel, or out down Aborigines or whatever is down in Australia, or where down in New Guinea, people have never ever heard the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. What about them? Well, the Bible says that the light of God lighteth every man that cometh into this world. There's an inner thing that's inside of every one of us that knows there is a supreme creator. And when somebody tells you that there is no God, you can tell them, look them right in their God-given eyeballs and tell them, you're a fool. The Bible said a fool has said in his heart, there is no God. So if you're here this morning, you don't really believe in God, you ought to start checking up on your beliefs, because the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It'll get right down into the thoughts and intents of your heart, down into the marrow, your bones, and it won't leave you alone until you get your heart right with God. So if you're here this morning and you're not saved, honey, you ought to get saved while you still got time, because there's a greater damnation coming to some folks that are sitting in a gospel preaching church that hear the gospel Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, and they don't receive it. Those that die lost in great light. Over in the book of Matthew, chapter 10, verse 15, the Bible says, "Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city." Talking about the city that where God, they turned away from God. And guess what? City of God, Sodom and Gomorrah, they had a witness. Lot sat there at the gate, and guess what? Those angels came up there to get Lot, and he said, "Look, if," and the Lord says, "Look, if you can just find, just go all the way down to just 10 righteous souls." Couldn't even find 10 righteous souls that would want to believe the truth. There's, just think of how many people there is today that do not believe the truth. Somebody was just telling me a while ago about somebody they tried to hand a tract to, and they wouldn't take it. They said, "Well, I'm just a dog." Well, guess what? Probably are. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 10 before I go too far. I want to make a groundwork to this thing before I really get rolling here and I forget what I'm doing. I like to have a little bit of basis on what I'm going to be preaching. Hebrews chapter 10, and look at verse 29. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 29. "Of how much sore punishment suppose ye shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden under foot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an holy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace." That word despite, it means to insult it. When you don't receive the Spirit of truth, as it is in fact the very word and truth of God, you insult God Himself. He loved you so much that He sent His Son Jesus to die on an old rugged cross that you and I might have life. And we can have life, but it's got to go through and by Jesus Christ. And you start thinking about what that judgment. The Bible says in verse 20, what did I just read? Chapter 29. Okay, look at verse 30. "For we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord, and again the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God." It's a fearful thing. You know what the problem today is? There is no fear of God. None. There's no fear of God in people. You say, "Well, how do you say that, preacher?" Look at the way people that claim to be saved live. I guarantee you there's at least probably 30 or 40 people sitting here this morning. Remember I told y'all I loved you, right? That will not be in the house of God tonight. Got quiet on that one, didn't it? I love the church that Jesus built, and I know that it is right. I go there on Sunday morning, but not on Sunday night. I love to sing the songs of God. Such worship must be right. This I do on Sunday morning, but not on Sunday night. God bless our preacher too, and give him power and might to put the sinner in his place. I won't be there Sunday night. I love to hear the gospel too. It gives me pure delight. I hear it Sunday morning, but not on Sunday night. I'd go through rain and sleet and snow, do anything that's right, to be in church on Sunday morning, but not on Sunday night. I know I need more strength to keep me in the fight, for help I come on Sunday morning, but not on Sunday night. Yes, we all must die. I hope I be doing right. So may I die on Sunday morning and not on Sunday night. You remember when Jesus Christ rose from the dead and the disciples were there in the upper room and Jesus appeared to them? And Thomas wasn't there? See, that was Sunday night. The Lord appeared to them on Sunday night, but guess who wasn't there? Thomas. And Thomas said, they were telling him, man, boy, you missed the Lord. You ever had somebody come up to you and say, man, you should have been here Sunday night, boy. We had a service. God come in this place in a mighty way. And you start thinking, well, boy, I wish I'd have been there. What are you doing on Sunday night that's more important than following the precepts and the word of God, saying, forsake not thy assembling the cells together as the manner of some is, but the much more as you see the day approaching? Nothing. There's nothing more important than worshiping God. I guarantee you, when you step out into eternity, the more faithful you are, the happier you're going to be. Are you all clamming up on me or what? I'm going to park it there. If you do, you better get a little loose on me now, all right? Let's worship God. The Bible tells us, we start thinking about it, the person who knows the truth about Jesus Christ and continues to live a life of sin commits three of the most horrible sins imaginable in my heart. One of them is he tramples God's very own Son underfoot. How many of you know people that claim to be saved and they're out there just wallowing in the world? Do you think that the judgment of God is just going to pass over them? God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. I guarantee you, you can bank on that. God is a righteous God. God is just. And God's mercy is there for every one of us who will receive it. You've got to understand that this day we live in, people have got their own mindset. Like it says over in the book of Proverbs, it says, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. I want to let you know that it ain't your way, it's God's way. I want to let you know that there's nothing that you can do to merit God's salvation, not by works of righteousness which we've done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing, regeneration, and renewing of the Holy Ghost of God. You've got to be a child of God. You've got to be saved by that Spirit of God. You've got to become in the likeness of God again. And when you do that, you start being able to worship God. And when God saves your soul and you don't live for Him, you're trampling the Son of God underfoot. Shame on you. Amen. Well, preacher, I just can't live for God. That's it. You don't want to. You want to do your own thing. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man. I'm going to worship God my way. How many of you ever heard somebody say, well, you know, those old ways are just archaic? That's what they say about the old King James Bible. The words in that are just, oh, I just can't understand it. Well, if you know English, you can understand it. Now, if you speak Portuguese or something like that, or Italian or German or whatever, you might have a hard time understanding the English-speaking Bible if you don't know English. But that King James Bible was written for the English-speaking people of this world to find out who Jesus Christ is. That book reveals Jesus Christ to this world. If you want to know about God, you get in the book and God will reveal Himself to you. God will show Himself real good to you. The more you read the book, the greater your faith is. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The more the Word of God you get in you, the more you know about God, and the more you want to love Him, the more you want to worship Him. If you're here this morning and you're not saved, you have no idea what the Word of God is. But I'll tell you what, it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You know what you got to do? You got to hear the Word of God.
that you're a lost sinner and you're on your way to hell and you can't do nothing about it, and you got to cry out to God and say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Come into my heart and save my soul, and God will save you. Amen. If you're here and you're still wallowing in sin, how many drug addicts we got in here this morning? How many drunkards we got in here this morning? Nobody wants to raise their hand on that one, do you? How many saved people we got in here this morning? See, everybody wants to raise their hand on that. Let me tell you something. If you're saved and you're having a problem with alcohol or drugs, whatever it is, pornography, whatever it is, God can deliver you from that sin. The Bible says, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. You're cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. The reason you don't want cleansing is you want to wallow in your sin. Your old stinking flesh wants to do it. Are we having fun yet? I'm having a blast. I want to let you know that God is quick and powerful. God can do that which needs to get you where you ought to be with Him. How many of you ever had God work in your life when you was going in the wrong direction to get you pointed in the right direction? Boy, I tell you, was that fun? But see, it was needful though. See, God is not going to do anything detrimental. Everything that God does in our life, it winds up. It might not look like it when it's happening, but when it comes about, it's always something better than what you was. Always. God is good. God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. God wants us to live for Him. God wants us to serve Him. God wants us to be where we need to be. But he that tramples God's own very Son underfoot, he's in a bad shape. Number two, the one that counts the blood of Christ an unholy thing. Now this means that the person considers the blood of Christ as worthless and useless in saving a person. Now who would be that? Somebody that believes they can be good enough to go to heaven? You ever met anybody like that? And I tell you what, well, preacher, I'll make it to heaven if I die and my heart's right with Him and I don't sin. Your mama dropped you on your head when you was a baby. If you get saved, the Bible says that God cleanses you from all sin. That all means past, present, and future. As you know, you got to understand, those who reject the blood of Christ because they think the way of God is by living and doing the best they can. They think that God will accept them if they are good and religious enough. How can you be religious and good enough to go to heaven? The Bible says there's none good. No, not one. There's none good but God. So you got to have that image and that nature of God on you. How do you get that? By getting saved. Those who reject the blood of Christ, because to them that blood is repulsive and distasteful. Why in the world you got to have blood? All the way from the Genesis all the way to right now, it's under the blood. If it wasn't for the blood, every one of us would be in hell right now. Amen. You think the devil wants us to go to heaven? The blood of Jesus Christ is the very basis of God's new covenant. The covenant of love, mercy, and grace. That's His blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission, the Bible says. Number three, he that has despised the Spirit of grace, that's the very person who showers the grace of God upon men, and that is the Holy Spirit of God. By sensing the inner pull of the Spirit to repent and to change and follow Christ, yet rejecting and ignoring the conviction of the Spirit of God. How many of you have been in church you got under conviction of something? And you got it right. Didn't you go out having the peace of God down deep in your heart? Have you ever been under conviction and didn't get it right? You went home and spent a miserable night sleeping, didn't you? How many of you, when you got under conviction about your sin of unbelief and not being saved, and God started working in you, and God said, okay, you need to get saved, and you said, well, I'll wait later. You can't wait later. What happens right now is what matters with God. You're not a point. You're not given any time. Like I said a couple of Sundays ago, you could pull out on Pine Island Road there and have an 18-wheeler just flatten you. Then you step out into eternity lost. I want to let you know, your soul is going to live forever and ever and ever. It'll never, ever die. It's going to live in hell or it's going to live in heaven. The choice is yours. Those people who reject Jesus Christ have a greater damnation. Those that have great work, you know, great light, they have a greater damnation. The Bible says in John chapter 3, verse 19, and this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. That's why people don't want to live right. Their deeds are evil. Those with evil deeds and works, I believe God's going to judge tremendously. Matthew 24 says, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye devour widows' houses, and for a pretense, now that word pretense is an outward showing, make long prayers, therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation. Better be careful being religious. You better be careful being so-called super spiritual, amen, holier than thou. Because, and that's what these people were. They were making these long prayers and looking at everybody saying, well, look at them, how spiritual they are. I'll tell you what, that ain't going to get you anywhere with God unless it's the right spiritual empowerment, and that's on high. You got to have the Spirit of God inside of you. And when you got to have the Spirit of God inside of you, you know what that's going to bring about? Humility. It's not going to boast that pride and look who I am, look what I've done. It's humility. God loves the humble. Those that knew the Lord's will and did it not. There's a greater damnation there. Over in Luke 21, 47, and that servant which knew his Lord's will, I just read, and prepared not himself. God's will, you know what God's will is? According to John chapter 6, verse 37, this is the will of the Father that sent me, that all that hear shall believe. He wants that's the will of God, for everybody to get saved. If you don't get saved, you cannot do the will of God. You're not in the will of God. He wants you to be saved. He don't want you to die and go to hell. He wants you to go to heaven with Him. He's did everything for you. And you start thinking about how good God is and how gracious God is. Those, it says in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 21, it says, for it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. See, people, they come to church time after time after time, and they'll listen to the preaching of the Word of God, and it goes in one ear and out the other. And I want to let you know there's a greater damnation to that person because you heard the truth. You heard the gospel of your salvation and you received it not. Are y'all still with me? Another one over in James chapter 5. I'm not going to turn over. Well, let's turn over. I'll read it. It's right there by Hebrews. We're in Hebrews. Turn to James. It's the next book just to the right there of Hebrews. I guess y'all are still in Hebrews. Look at chapter 5. I ain't even started to burn the roast yet, so we're good to go. James chapter 5, it says in verse 1, go to now, ye rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. Ye have heaped treasure together for the last days. Behold, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth, and the cries of them that have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of the Sabbath. Ye have lived in pleasure on the earth and been wanton. Ye have nourished your hearts as in the day of slaughter. Ye have condemned and killed the just, and he doth not resist you. You start thinking about what that's talking about. The Bible tells us that if you oppress the poor, you're in a greater position of a greater damnation. There's people that are higher ups in our country that are taking advantage of the poor. You look at some of these congressmen now, they're not in it for us, they're in it for them. To what they can, you know, the people in Washington, about every one of them, they think that the rest of us are dumb. They don't have any spiritual discernment at all. But I tell you what, if you start looking at it, the biggest majority of the people in this country are stupid. It never amazes me. All you got to do is, if you'll stick your nose in this book just a little bit, you can have some spiritual discernment. I'm not going to get on any politics right now. I'm preaching. The book of Malachi chapter 3 verse 5 says, "And I will come near to you to judgment, and I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers and against the adulterers and against false witnesses." Now listen to this. "And against those that oppress the hireling in his wages, the widow and the fatherless, and that turn aside the stranger from his right, and fear not me, saith the Lord of hosts." How many of you think that all of our senators and our congressmen up there have the fear of God? I dare say there might be a handful. There's a couple of good ones up there, but you don't really know their heart the way God does. But see, those are ones that are oppressing the poor. And how many of y'all have seen the national average on what the average person in America makes? Have y'all ever looked at that? I mean, they make, I think it's $80,000+ is the average income. And I'm getting to thinking, I says, where do they get these figures at? I ain't never made that much money in my life. I mean, some of y'all sitting here are probably well off. That's not good. God bless you for it. But you know what I'd do if I was well off? I'd give it to the work of God. I mean, you can keep enough to live on. That's all you need. If you got over now, you know what's going to happen when you die? Your family, your kids, everybody's going to fight over it. It's going to split the family. This one ain't going to be talking to that one. This ain't going to be talking. You better do it. And you'll be well pleased when you stand before the Lord and he says, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." I guarantee you. Another person is those in authority that misuse it. Now, this is a pretty good one. I want to show you this. Turn back over to Luke with me again. That's the portion I just read. Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. If I can find Luke back over there, it is. Luke chapter 12. And look at verse 48. I'm just going to read one verse. Luke chapter 12, look at verse 48. "But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, to him shall be much required. To whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more." When we vote our politicians into office, we're giving them our confidence in them that they're going to do right. And what they do, they get up there and they misuse the authority that we give to them to govern us. And when they do that, they are trodden underfoot. Not only us, but God Himself. That's a God-given right of these people to go up there and do that, and they trod it underfoot. Romans chapter 13, verse 1 says, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God." See, they're ordained of God to be used for the service of God to promote the Word of God in this country. What are they doing? They're taking the prayer out of the schools. They're taking the Bible out of the schools. They're doing all this junk that's going on. Man, you'd be amazed to see what's going on in our public schools. It'll break your heart. Another one is found over in the book of Ecclesiastes, and that's the society and the insanity of hell itself is alive and well. It says in Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 3, it says, "This is an evil among all things that are done under the sun, that there is one event unto all. Yea, also the heart of the sons of men is full of evil, and madness is in their heart while they live, and after that they go to the dead." Now you start thinking about exactly what that's talking about. In Ecclesiastes chapter 9, it says, "And madness is in their heart while they live." They live madly in an evil without any fear of an after reckoning of judgment at all. All they're going to do is do what they want to do when they want to do it. Honey, there's a judgment and a payday someday real soon. It's in, look at verse 4. It says, "For to him that is joined to the living, there is hope." You know, there's a hope of repenting and being saved while you're living. If you're still alive, you've got a hope. And that hope is Jesus Christ. You still got, if you're not here and you're not saved, you got a hope that you can get saved here this morning. There's still hope while you've got a breath of life in you. There is hope that you can be saved. But listen to what else it says. It says in verse 4, it says, "For to him that is joined to all the living, there is hope." Now listen to this, "For a living dog is better than a dead lion." I read that thing and I scratched my head and I said, what in the world? And I got to think, because you know, a dog to a Jew is the lowest creature there is. That's what they refer Gentiles as, or Samaritans, or as they refer to them as dogs. The noblest who die unconverted have no hope. The vilest, so long as they have life, have hope. And I started thinking about that. While there is life, there is hope. A live dog is better than a dead lion. That lion's dead. He can't do nothing else. He can't hurt nothing. He can't do nothing. Man, when you pass from this life and you step out into eternity, it's done. There's no more hope of salvation. You better get ready. I said you better get ready, because judgment is coming. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. How you prepare your heart and your soul is what's going to count for eternity. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. How many of you want life? Boy, how many of you want to die and go to hell? Man, if you got any sense at all, you want to go to heaven. I know I want to go to heaven, and I want Jesus Christ. Guess what? I've got him, and I know where I'm going. I'm on my way to heaven. I'm bound for that holy city. I'm bound to see my Lord and Savior that loved me and gave himself for me. I love him this morning, and I want to serve him and live for him. If you're here this morning and you ain't saved, honey, you ought to get saved before it's too late. Well, preacher, I'll do it later. You're not guaranteed 1 second. I'm going to close on this. Turn over Revelation. If some of you are saying, praise the Lord. I didn't tell you how long this was, though. So don't y'all be closing your Bibles up when I read this verse, or I might preach another 30 minutes. Look at verse 8 of Revelation 21. It says, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. You can categorize every lost sinner in that verse right there. They've got every one of those attributes. They might not have all of them, but they got some of every one of them in their heart. The Bible says, if the Son sets you free, you're free indeed. How do you get free? By hearing the Word of God that you are a lost sinner and that you need a Savior. Are you saved here this morning? If you're saved, you've got heaven ahead of you. On the other hand, if you're here and you're not saved, all you can look forward is hell. And I want to be straightforward with you. If you're here and you're not saved, you've got to climb, literally climb, to get there. You say, what do you mean, preacher? You've got to climb over the Word of God to get to hell. It's right there saying, repent, be saved. If you're here you get over the Word of God, there's another obstacle. You gotta climb over Jesus Christ and His blood. He shed His blood that you might have life, and that life is to be more abundant. If you climb over the Word of God and over Jesus Christ, you've got to climb over the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God is trying to draw you to Christ, to draw you to God, to tell you, whoa, you need to get saved. Hold it a minute. You need salvation. And when you climb over the Holy Spirit of God, you get right to God Himself, and God's saying, don't go to hell. I sent my Son to die in your place. The Holy Spirit of God is telling you that right now. You need salvation, so come to me. And when you climb over God, you're going to drop right straight into hell and burn forever and ever. I know that ain't a popular message this day and time. It's the truth. You need it. Sometimes, you know, preachers just need to preach the hell out of people. Well, you're cussing, preacher. Well, hell's a Bible word. And if you ain't saved, you got hell in you, and I'm trying to get it out of you. Amen. Don't be mincing words with me. I know people, you know, you use a phrase like, man, he's just a dumbass. That's a Bible phrase. He is. Somebody that ain't saved. How many of you ever tried to get a donkey in a place where they didn't want to go? What'd you say to them? I'm trying to get you someplace where I want you to go and you ain't wanting to go. I'm trying to get you into the family of God. Amen. And guess what you are if you don't go? I didn't say nothing. You're assuming now, right? You're just a lost sinner going to hell. God loves you. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. God doesn't want you to go to hell. If you're here this morning, you I don't know, you might be a church member here, but if you're lost and God's showing you, you need to get saved. If you're here and you're a visitor, don't worry about being a visitor. If you're lost, you need to get saved. It don't make no difference, man. We'll rejoice, man. The angels of heaven will rejoice when one sinner comes to repentance. God wants to save your soul. Let's all stand to our feet, every eye closed, every head bowed.